Welcome to the LDS Mental Health Podcast. This is a podcast for faithful women who want healing in their relationships, guidance from God, and internal peace. Each week, you'll hear mental health concepts taught through a spiritual lens from me, a licensed clinical mental health counselor, to help you start thinking in a higher and holier way. All right. I am so excited for this episode. We have a special guest on here, Hilda Dunford from Our Blindside on the Instagram. Welcome. I'm so excited to have you here.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I'm so glad that we're able to meet here.
Yes. So I was introduced to you. We chatted just before this, but I was introduced to you from my podcast manager, Leanne, and you guys are neighbors and in the same ward. And I have just been so impressed as I've dived into your account and all the different things that you are involved in and the awareness that you bring with your account. So why don't we just have you do a little introduction? Tell us about you, your family, and all that you try to really advocate for and bring awareness to on your account.
Yeah, so I am a mom of three kids. And we have a family of five. So my oldest daughter is 17. Her name's Jordan. And then my son Ashton is 12. And he was born with a rare condition called septo-optic dysplasia. And he is blind. Then my youngest is Ocean. And she's 8 years old. And I started sharing to spread blindness awareness on my page. And now I just feel like I share, you know, blindness awareness. I share about our family. We've gone through lots of trials, and we also have a blended family. My oldest is my stepdaughter. And so learning how to co-parent and just like dealing with everything that comes into that and, you know, taking care of myself as a mom of having to balance everything for everyone in my family.
Yes. And you've shared about infertility and what they call secondary infertility, right?
Yeah. So we've been struggling with secondary infertility for 7 years, and it has been really hard. I think it's one of the hardest things to struggle with that affects your mental health as a mom. It's such a hidden, because you have kids. And so it's so hidden because no one thinks that you're struggling with it because you already have kids.
So
and there's not a lot of support. It's not something that everyone talks about. And sometimes when you do talk about it, there is a lot of judgment in the way that you already have kids. So that makes it even harder, I think, to go through something when it feels like only if someone's going through it, they would understand.
Right. Yeah. And it doesn't get shared as much. So you don't know those people that you can connect with. That makes it difficult. Yeah. That's so true. Yeah. And so May is Mental Health Awareness Month. And one of the things that I've been wanting to do is highlight accounts that are talking about mental health in unique ways. And I've just loved the way that you talk about prioritizing yourself in the midst of lots of pressing priorities. Like you have a lot of priorities that you can't just set aside and focus on me. So what I wanted to do today was talk about like your top three ways that you prioritize you so that you can pour back into your family. So maybe let's just start with your first tip. What's the first way that you prioritize you and your mental health so that you can pour back into your family?
So something that I do for me every single day is have 45 minutes of exercise. I feel like exercising is a huge way of just like releasing stress and also focusing on just me. It's not something that I'm not taking care of anyone at that time. I'm just focusing on me. And I go and do that just for 45 minutes at a gym. And I love that. I love how much that helps my mental health. I feel like I come back and I'm a better mom. I'm a better wife. I'm a better, happier person because I got those 45 minutes for me. And
it's so true. Cause also, I think, Oh, I was just gonna say that, like, a lot of times I think people think working out is for your physical health, which, I mean, it does help with that. You do have more energy, things like that. But it's amazing when you miss that, how much you notice in your mental clarity if you don't do it.
It just doesn't feel like I feel like my body needs it.
Yeah,
Almost it
same.
doesn't make I was talking to a friend about this, but it kind of doesn't make sense how we don't feel a lot of energy and then we work out and we feel more energy.
Right?
And
Right?
so, but that's how it is. Like you just feel more
Yeah.
energized and you just feel just happier after you
Yeah.
exercise. So I love to start my day exercising when my kids are in school. That's what I will go do after I drop them off. And then another thing that it really helps me too is when I'm able to study, come follow me.
Oh, yes.
That is when I have that time, like at least like one day of the week. I mean, I'd like to have more than just one day of the week. Sometimes it's too busy, but just being able to read the scriptures and study it on my own. And not just like a family home evening and teaching it with my kids. That helps too, but I feel like just having that own scripture study time helps.
Definitely.
That being able to pray about what I'm learning and just like take care of my spiritual health and that helps with your mental health so much because like when you're struggling with trials, especially with secondary infertility, having that strong testimony and knowing that Heavenly Father is there with you going through those trials helps your mental health so much. You know, you're not alone. So that's another thing that I try to prioritize.
How
And
do you find yourself in the midst of all of those things, like saying, I know that helps me. How do you get yourself to that? If you're talking to the mom who's like, I know that would help me so much, but how do I fit it in? How do you get yourself to say, nope, this is a non-negotiable. I have to do this.
I think of the alternative, like kind of how we were talking before, like how will I feel if I don't do this now? Like, tomorrow something else will come up and I'll be really busy running around and I feel like I will be able to handle that so much better if I have this time for me now instead of pushing this to like Sunday night or something,
Yes,
and
right?
then
Cram
being
it all
like,
in.
oh gosh, now I'm trying to get the kids ready for school tomorrow, like getting their outfits ready and giving Ashton his medications and trying to make sure everyone's homework's and all. And then this never happens. And then it's an even harder week the next week just because I wasn't able to have that time for myself.
That sounds, yeah, that sounds interesting because I like that, like, thinking about what is doing all of these priorities going to be like without having put in the effort to energize myself or refuel myself. What's that going to be like to do all of those things? But I think also in that, like you said, is not waiting for those open times, right? Like, because if I just wait for time to open up for myself, it's not going to happen because there's always going to be somebody or something that needs me. And so it sounds like you're carving that out for yourself, and making sure that those are your kind of sacred times for you to make sure it happens.
Yeah, it does make a huge difference. And you can't pour from an empty cup. You can't show up fully and be fully present for your family if you're not showing up for yourself first. And I think that's something that's so hard for other moms to understand. We are in, we're always expected to give everything, and we do. We love doing that. We love being there for our kids. We love giving everything we can for them and being present and everything, but we can't really do it unless we take care of ourselves too. And I hope that I always tell this to others. I think I know I've shared about this before, but your kids will learn to take care of themselves if they see you taking care of you too.
Oh, I
So
love that.
it's not, it's not like, oh, mom is being selfish by going to the gym. It's more like, oh, when I get older, I'm going to make that a priority for me too, because I know how much it helps mom. And so they won't put that me time or that priority in the back burner, or not think that they're good enough to have that time, because they'll know that their mom did that and it helped her. And so I think that it's a good way of setting an example for your kids.
That's so true, because we don't want our children to grow up and not prioritize themselves either, right? We don't want them to feel burnt out or resentful of pouring and never having something come back in. We want to be that example for them. That's such a good reminder, because I think sometimes we think doing these things for ourselves is taking away from them, and it's actually giving them that gift to allow them to do that in the future for themselves too.
I love that they're learning that by watching, when I'm able, when I can do it, and never have they've never, been upset because I needed to go to the gym or because, like they don't, it's just kind of like, oh, like mom goes to the gym, like it's just part of the routine and that's what I do. And when they come home and ask me, how was your day, like, oh, I went to the gym in the morning and I did this and then I went grocery shopping and then I did all the other things. And it's not like anything.
They don't question it. It's just what happens.
They just kind of see it as something that's normal, something that is just part of our lives. And I think that not a lot of kids get that example, and so it they don't fully take care of their mental health because they grow up with examples that aren't teaching them that it's something that they should take care of.
I think that's so true. I've a few interviews I've been doing, one of the main themes I've been hearing in the interviews is like our kids are going to learn by what we do more than what we tell them to do. Like they're learning by our example of our physical actions that we're doing rather than our lectures of what we're telling them to do. And so it's great to show them that their mental health matters, that prioritizing these things for their own well-being will serve their whole family, not just themselves.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And then I was going to say the third one is connection, just like connecting with friends, family, women. Just I feel like you need that connection to help with your mental health, whether it's a friend, a neighbor, my mom, making sure that I have a phone call or a FaceTime or something, a girls' night where I'm able to connect with other women and talk about things that are hard, because connection is so important for taking care of your mental health. And moms don't usually get to have a lot of connection sometimes because
So
we're
true.
taking care of everything.
Yes, so true. And I think prioritizing those times to build those connections too, right? So that when we really need them, that we can reach out. Because I think sometimes I see women don't not prioritizing building those relationships, and then when they really need those relationships, it's harder to reach out because you're already feeling overwhelmed. So I love that, like, just build the connections now. Build the connections with people that, so when you are struggling, you can reach out and reach out for that support and help, and people, and that you feel like you have that trust built with someone already.
Making that time to build those connections. 'Cause yeah, it is busy and sometimes you can plan to go out to lunch with a friend and then it doesn't happen 'cause something else happened and then something else happened and then making sure that you're able to have those times.
I love that. I love that. So really spending time with our physical health, so that affects, because that affects our mental health. Being able to prioritize those connections. And then why am I forgetting the second one you said? It's not
And
coming
then
back.
it was a study, just learning
Oh,
from
yeah.
Ptolemy, studying the
Yes.
scriptures.
Yeah. Yes. I think all three of those are so important. And They don't have to be big, huge things, and we don't have to be doing all three of them every single day, right? Like we can do what we can fit in, and make sure that we prioritize ourselves at the beginning, right? At the beginning of the day, or scheduling it in so that it's a non-negotiable thing that really is for ourselves.
Yeah, I love that. There's something that I love that it's actually my daughter's a dancer. So her teacher, when she's practicing her solo, her teacher will say, "What do you need? Like, what do you need right now?" And so I've started asking that to myself, like at the beginning of the day when I'm making, priorities of what I like, what do I need? Like, there's all these things that need to get done, but what do I need? Obviously you can't get through that list every single day and you will feel like you failed if you are trying to get through it and that's all that you took care of. But if one of those things was something for you, then it won't feel that way. It will feel like, okay, today I got this done, tomorrow I will get this done. And you won't be as hard on yourself if you take care of what something that you needed for yourself.
I love that. Put you on the to-do list.
Yeah.
Make sure you're on there and you're taking
Yeah.
care of you. I love
Yeah.
that.
And I mean, and I don't do all those three things every day, obviously. Like, I feel like the exercising is probably what I try to do every day. I don't, I mostly do like 5 or 6 times a week. I can't fit it in every single day of the week. But like the other things I try to do at least like once a week, like studying the scriptures, reaching out to a friend or having that time at least once a week. And then you also have those days where you can look forward to it,
Yeah, that's so true. That and maybe you're scheduling it in for a few days down, and you are looking forward to that, and you know that time is coming, that you're going to have lunch with a friend, or be able to fit in that exercise when you can. I love that. These are awesome. Thank you so much for sharing these tips. If people want to, and I would encourage all of you guys to go follow our blind side. Tell them your Instagram account, how to find you there so that they can see.
So it's at Our Blind Side. And it's also on Facebook.
Okay. Awesome. I'm an Instagrammer. I hardly ever get on Facebook. That's so cool. You guys definitely need to go follow. I love the dances that you and Ocean do. They're so cute. And following her journey, and Ashton running track. That is so cool that he started into
Yeah,
that.
they are both really driven and really determined with the things that they are doing. And I love sharing that. I think, they are also teaching me lessons just from watching them, how determined they are in the things that they choose to do. And I want to share that with everyone on my page. And I love that there is just such a supportive and just great community that we have on social media. I never planned for it to grow as much as it. Like I never would have thought that that would be that I'd be sharing our family story. But at the same time, I love hearing how much it helps other moms, especially parents who are just getting a diagnosis of blindness.
Yeah, that's so
That
true.
is. That is so hard to find someone to reach out to that you can trust. And I love that our page gives hope to those parents. And I didn't have anybody to reach out to when Ashton was diagnosed. There was, I think, one blog that I found from a mom in another country. And so I was like, I should really share this because I think it needs to be shared. And now I have a huge community. The blind community is big on social media, and I love that by sharing, I get to be part of it and I get to learn from other moms too. And I get to share what I've learned with other moms.
And I think I love how you just bring awareness to people who maybe don't have a connection to the community, right? And bringing that awareness to everyone. So it's a really beautiful page. Everyone should come follow and just soak up the goodness that you're offering. I love it.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I love that it reaches the people who need it. And I always just, I share my heart on there. And so it really means a lot when others are able to learn from it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's exactly what I want to be able to do for Ashton. I hope that when he's an adult, there'll be so much awareness that it just be like, oh, you know, like I know someone who's blind, or I've seen on social media a video of someone who's blind who's completely independent and doing this, and it won't be like, oh, you're blind, but you can do that, you know?
Right,
Like, it'll
exactly.
change the perspective and the awareness, and he won't have to explain anything. He'll just be able to just be himself, and the world will just embrace that and love that.
I love that mission. That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming and sharing your story, your tips. We'll definitely have people, I'll link how to come find you on our show notes with that. But thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to the LDS Mental Health Podcast. I hope you were able to find ways of healing, guidance, and peace. If you liked this episode, please share it with a friend who would love to start thinking in a higher and holier way as well. Or hit that follow button so you don't miss out on any episodes. Also, check out the links in my show notes for other episodes you might like, and links for other mental health resources on my website.